Will the real Lord and Savior please stand up? Will the real Jesus Christ answer the call? Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right. You're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. I'm so glad you are here with me today. Ow! Let me tell you, I'm so excited for this edition of the show because we're going to be talking to a wonderful woman of God who is telling us the story of will the real Jesus Christ stand up? You may be saying, what in the world are you talking about, Parker? Well, Stolen Jesus is a book that you need to read about one woman's journey to find the real Jesus Christ. And we're going to be delving behind the scenes of that story coming up in just a few moments. Now, this episode is pre-recorded, so we will not be taking any calls today. But make sure you get your friends and family, and they can call in at 646-668-8485 and listen in. Or they can click on the description and click on the link we have in the description. You can follow us on iTunes or on your mobile device. This is a show you definitely don't want to miss. I want to thank you all for your support of all my books. As most of you know, last week I completed my 12th book. Let me tell you, it's very exciting to say I've got 12 books now. Those of you who have been following me from the beginning and from the onset, you know what that journey has been like. And I want to thank you for being so supportive of that. For those of you who follow the Lantern in the Window series, the next book of that series called Lantern of Charity will be coming out this Friday. So make sure you stay tuned to my Facebook to get the links and get special announcements about that. And if you want to join my readers group, go to Parker's Bovacious Readers. I am there. You can join the group anytime. And I'll be glad to just sit and connect with you, whether it's via video or PM or whatever. I would love to connect with you, my readers. Again, this is not a pre-recorded episode. I mean, this is a pre-recorded episode, so we'll be taking any calls, but make sure you get your family and friends and listen in at 668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, the queen here. I'm so excited for this edition of the show. We're going to be talking to Jamie R. Amerine. She is the author of Stolen Jesus, and by the time you finish listening to her story, you're going to understand why I asked the question at the beginning of the broadcast, will the real Lord Jesus Christ stand up? Because I got to tell you, if there's one figure that's quote-unquote shrouded in mystery, it is the person of Jesus Christ. Was he real? And if he was real, was he really God? Or was he just someone who was a really good person? Was he just a knowledgeable teacher? Did he take all his teachings from other people? I mean, will the real Jesus Christ stand up? Because it's so important to understand that if you know who Jesus Christ is, it's going to affect the rest of your life. But you have to decide what you're going to do with that information. That is why Jamie is going to tell us about her book, Stolen Jesus. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce her to us today. Jamie, how are you doing today?
I'm really good. How are you, Parker?
I'm fine. I'm fine, Jamie. Thank you for being with me on the show. Just having such a great time with you. I'm already excited because I know you're going to give us a lot of good information about this topic of Jesus Christ, because who he is makes all the difference in the world. You know that. It makes all the difference in the world. So I'm really glad you took time out of your schedule to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, I can always read your bio, and your bio is very cool, by the way. I can always read your bio. But you go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. Well, my name is Jamie Amerine, and I am married to Justin. We've been married for 26 years, and we have 6 children, 4 biological children, Maggie, who's married and runs an embroidery shop, and John, who's a Marine and is out to sea, Luke, who is 18, he lives here with us and is a yoga instructor and whole wellness student, Sophie, who's a junior in high school, and then we increased our numbers through foster care and adoption, and we added Sam, who is now 6, and Charlie, who's now 4. And we actually our entire married life, we lived on a ranch in West Texas, and then through some odd turns of events, I became an author and a published author and needed to be closer to an airport, wanted to be closer to my family. And so I asked Justin to follow me to Houston, and he said yes. And so we've made this our home now for the last year. And I actually have only been writing for 3 years, and it was kind of a fluke, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, but we have a happy life. I live next to my parents here in the Houston area, and my siblings both live here. And I studied my undergraduate degree at Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas, home economics, and my graduate degree in education, counseling, and human development from Hardin-Simmons University. I homeschooled my first batch, and Sophie now has outwitted me, and she's going to go to public school, and so are the 2 young sons who we lovingly refer to as the Vandals on my blog. The hashtag Vandals, and they they are something else. They give us a run for our money. We're old, so we were involved in foster care until about a year ago. Very actively involved. We're probably more involved now in foster care reform, and I'm very interested in pursuing that in the future. Foster care reform for foster families, legal funds for foster families, and that kind of thing. So it's a good life. It's been fun, and publishing has been fun and crazy and weird, and yeah. So
you know what's so interesting, Jamie, is that for our listeners out there, see, I met Jamie in person. We're going to talk about it in a minute. And she says, oh, I've been married for 20 years. Let me tell you, Jamie doesn't even look like she can go past 27, okay? She doesn't look like she can go past 27. So I'm letting you know right now. Okay, I know she said it, but she does not look like it whatsoever. The Lord has blessed her with it. Like, oh, gosh, ageless jeans. Because I remember you told me at the conference, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. You know, there's no way she's married for 20 years. When she got married, she was 6. You know, that's what I was
26
thinking.
Years. 26, yeah, 26
oh,
years. 26 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you, okay, there is a time, there's a time thing, sci-fi thing going on, that's why. And so I'm like, you know, and she sounds so sweet. And so she's a beautiful woman. And I'm sitting here going, there's no way. Absolutely no way. But hey,
well,
you know what? That means that you've been happy. It means that you're happy and you got children now. And for some reason, maybe you drank the Kool-Aid and started all over again. You know, I'm just joking. joking,
I love being a mom, and I just had a heart for it, and the Lord just put it in our path, and we followed it. There's been some real hard seasons, but overall, we are very blessed with this great big family, and the Vandals keep us in stitches, and they keep us young. So, you know, it's all good. I'm a little jealous of my older friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I said you're jealous of your older friends?
Oh, my older friends, yeah, that don't have their kids at home anymore, and we're kind of feeling left out because we're like, we've got these toddlers. But it's good. It's just, it's a neat way to live. I think it's an ode to how good our God is, and you know, they make us laugh, and I think they keep us young. So.
Well, I got to tell you, too, I like the fact that you say you're a rancher. You were ranching for a number of years, too, because I started writing a journal this year, and my second series was ranching and ranchers. And I've never even ridden a horse. So,
okay.
And horses actually scare me. I met a horse one time. And I was at the Renaissance Fair here in Michigan, like in one of the suburbs and one of the further places going up north. I ran off. I don't let my pet taller than me. You have issues with that when your pets are taller than you. And so,
yeah.
So it's fascinating that you do that. Can't wait to hear more about that when we get further down into your story. And so one of the things that happens is that we met at SoCal. But we didn't get a chance to chit-chat SoCal, except for like this really brief meeting where I'm like, hi, I'm Parker. You're like, hey, I'm Jamie. What do you do? You know, so it's kind of a hurried meeting. But tell me, what were your impressions of the conference? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, I just loved it. I came home and I applied for some teaching jobs at some universities. My husband was like, what are you doing? You've got another book due and all these people pursuing you for speaking, and what are you doing? And I just said, I have to teach. I have to teach people that are eager. I want to teach writers. I loved it. I love Kathy Ide. She's actually one of the reasons that I even ended up being a published author. And I thought it was by far one of the best conferences I've ever been to, as far as community, small enough, not too big. I felt like people were being heard. I felt like I got to spend one-on-one time with authors, which I love to do. I thought it was fabulous. I had a bad experience in that when I got on the plane to fly there, the plane was full, and they asked me if they could check my carry-on. And I said yes, and they threw it, and my computer was destroyed. So I spent a good portion of the time trying to get a new computer and get my information moved from my old computer to the new computer, which did not happen, including part of my new book. And so I didn't actually get to attend any of the other sessions, but I taught platform sessions, which I love, because I felt like I was able to breathe some life into something that for so many authors just feels like a bottomless pit. And so I loved it. I just loved it. I can't say enough about it.
That is horrifying to think that part of your book is lost. That's horrifying. And I totally just totally crying. On my computer, and I write them. And then I'm scared to put them on a cloud server because I'm like, well, someone steals my idea. I don't want to put them on a cloud server.
I know.
And then you put on a USB. Well, if you lose the USB, you know, so you got to take a step and take somewhere. So you just chain your laptop to your hand.
Yeah, it was, and it, you know, you have all the people that tell you all the things you should have done, and it was too late. So, yeah, I was talking out loud to Jesus quite a bit, but
yeah.
He's good, and it's going to be okay. So,
amen.
But yeah, I didn't get to attend any of the other sessions because between my sessions, I was running around like a mad woman trying to find a new computer. I did get one, and it's been a huge blessing. And there was some stuff that was able to be saved off of it, but you know, it's okay. It's all good.
It's okay. It's okay. You know, maybe you have a fresher take on it. Maybe you have a fresher take. So what were you
going to say? Oh, I'm sorry. You cut out, so I didn't hear what you said. I ended up having a fresh take on it, which is interesting because it's the exact same thing. When I got – so I'm kind of jumping ahead, I guess, but it's kind of important in my story. I wasn't an author, and I wasn't a writer. I stayed at home, and I had all these kids, and I was involved in foster care, and someone put a picture of us, and this was in November of 2014. Somebody put a picture of me on Facebook holding a foster baby and tagged me in it and said, we need more families like Jamie Amerin, more foster families like Jamie Amerin. They didn't do it maliciously, and they didn't realize, and we almost lost our foster care license. So I got off of Facebook. And Facebook was the only place that I did any writing. I would just put up these funny stories about our kids, and then sometimes I put some inspirational stuff up, but it wasn't an author page. It was just my Facebook. And so then in December, I'd been off Facebook. This is December of 2014. I'd been off Facebook for a month, and we got the flu. And apparently I had something to say. I had no voice, and I had no Facebook, and I asked my husband if I could borrow his laptop. I didn't own my own. And he said yes, and I wrote 60,000 words in 9 days, and I titled it Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors. And I gave it to my parents. In March, they had a friend that had gone to Mount Hermon's Writers Conference, and he said, you need to send her with this manuscript. So this is March of 2015, and sent me to the Writers Conference, and I met with agents who all said, sorry, you have to have a platform. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even own my own computer. So, and I had this manuscript that they were saying was good, but I had to have a platform. So Kathy Ide, John Van Hoff, Judy Morrow, a couple other people that were there, kind of barricaded me in a room and said, you need to start a blog and build a platform. And I really did completely relinquish that to God. I think I put up 9 posts from March until September. I had an average of 69 readers every month. And then in September of 2015, not even a year later, I put up a post called An Open Letter to My Children, You're Not That Great. And I was catapulted to over 1 million readers in a matter of days. It was the number one blog in the world for several weeks, and went viral off that post and another post and then another post. And by February or March of 2016, I had a 2-book deal with Harvest House. And that book is a completely different book than it was when I wrote it. And Stolen Jesus ended up being my first book instead of Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors. And I would have gladly lost either one of those in their early conception because they were not the truth. And God used them to set me free and to help other people be set free and to laugh and find truth and meet him in a whole new way. So although my third book that was on the computer that was destroyed, which comes out not this year but next year because I have now signed a third book deal, I kind of always look at it like he knows best and he's going to show me something I've never really probably considered, and he already has. So I always like to tell authors, you have to kind of be fluid if you're going to write for Jesus, because he's usually going to use your words to show you something so that other people can be showed the same thing.
You know, that's just absolutely, that is since just wonderful, just chills down my spine, really, just to hear that, because so many people need to know the story and how he just takes something and turns into gold. And you're surprised, how do you take poop, Lord, and turn it into gold? And that's what he does.
Yep.
And it's fascinating that he does that. We're
going
to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Jamie Amerin and her book, Stolen Jesus, coming up next in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back. So you're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, I am so glad you are here with me today. We are having just a phenomenal, phenomenal time talking to Jamie Amerine. She is the author of the book Stolen Jesus, a bestseller. And let me tell you, just some of her story is just sending riblets down my body as I listen to how the Lord used her in such a very mighty way. And Jamie, once again, thanks for taking time to be with us on the show. And I want to kind of continue to delve behind the story of your book, but I kind of got to go to your childhood now. And so you grew up a particular faith until a certain time. So go ahead and tell us about the faith you grew up in.
Well, I was raised, my parents are from Utah, and my mom was actually Mormon. So until the time that I was seven, almost eight, my dad did not participate in the Mormon church, but my mom did. And so, and most of my mom's side of the family was Mormon, and they still are. And so that was what I was raised in, and that was my first encounter with Jesus. Then when I was eight, my parents got baptized and saved in an Assembly of God, and we left the Mormon church. So we kind of hopped around to different religions after that. I have a smorgasbord of religions under my belt, which is kind of how Stolen Jesus came to be, the story of Stolen Jesus came to be. But, yes, we lived in Utah until I was eight or six, and we left the church when I was eight, or were asked to leave the church when I was eight. So that's, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It was reported by a family member that we had taken, that my parent, my mom had been baptized and taken communion in the church, or in another church. And so she was actually excommunicated.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of things, and this is just, I want to get some clarity here because I'm not here to do any kind of bashing or anything like that. We do understand that Mormons have different beliefs than biblical Christianity. We understand that.
Correct.
And so
yes.
Some people may say, well, Parker, you shouldn't be saying what you're saying. But we can be nice to people, but you also have to be direct, and you got to be kind of bold to say, you know what, there are certain things, like we can all agree, you know, if we all want to be pro-life, for example, we want to be pro-life, we want to, you know, we could both stand up and fight for pro-life. But if Jesus is different for you than it is for me, then someone has to be right and someone has to be wrong. You know, we both can't be right. And I think that's an important part of Stolen Jesus, is finding the real Jesus, because if one person's saying something about Jesus here, and then you hear something completely different about Jesus there, you got to go, well, who's right? You know, and I think that journey that you'll tell us about is going to help peel back the veil. And so in your mind, because a lot of Mormons profess, they say, I am a Christian. They say that a lot. I am a Christian.
Right.
Are Mormons Christian from your studies and everything? Why? If they are, why? Or if they aren't, why not?
Okay. Well, I believe that you are Christian if you believe in the completed work of Jesus Christ. That being said, I think one of the greatest tests for understanding the completed work of the cross is what your religion requires of you. Because, and I use this example all the time, what was required of the thief on the cross that accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? because he couldn't get down. It was over. There was no tithes to pay. There were no orphans to adopt. There were no widows to care for. There were no meals to take to the shut-ins. There were no houses to build for the poor. There was nothing left to do except to say yes to Jesus Christ. If he had required anything else other than that, I believe that he would have said so. Our belief is what counts as righteous. And the minute that you're required to pay a tithe, the minute you're required to answer to someone else, the minute that we add law, we fall outside of the gift of grace. And here's the truth about the sacrifice of the cross. And it's actually, in some ways, it's laughable. And we say it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, the blood worked, all of those things. And then we go to work on ourselves. And when we're working on ourselves, we are not looking up. We're digging at our belly buttons, and we're not looking up to this Jesus that loved us with just a yes. We did not deserve it. We could not earn it, and we cannot pay it back. And we get in this mindset of do good, get good. He did good for us while we were still bad. And it separates us from him. And when we add to that work, and then we fail, which we will do, especially with these man-made laws, we're separated from him. And he said we couldn't be separated from him. So we're actually doing that. He is not doing it. We're doing it. And so that, I think, is the best litmus test for your religion, not your relationship, but your religion. Your religion is asking you, and in my book I talk about when my grandfather died, my Mormon grandfather died, was the thing that I remember is that our family was told that he would not be bound to my grandmother in heaven because he was behind on his tithes. Okay, that's not biblical. That's of this earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And my grandpa loved Jesus. So the idea that we have to pay ransom for something that he did completely willingly, blamelessly, the perfect sacrifice, is the perfect test. And I always say this about tithes because I come from a background of legalism like that. You know, pay your tithe. Pay 9%. Pay 11%. Pay 12%. But do not get bound to the idea that you have to do anything to earn his love because the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And we should be giving and doing these things out of pure love and glory, not because we have to, because he didn't ask us to do anything but say yes. And I think that that's where the change comes from. And I think one of the saddest things that happens to us in our faith, it's such a tragedy, is the idea that when bad things happen to us, it's because we let him down. And that's not what he said either. He said, in this life you will face hard times, and I will be there for you, and nothing can separate you from me. But we got to work on ourselves. So, and I think other people do it too, but especially within some of these staunch religions with these harsh laws, it's like, in Utah, we had some neighbors, and their son died in a terrible accident, and that was the questions. You know, well, had you paid your tithes? Had you done this? Had you done this? He can't be two things. He's so pure and so good, and he's so delightful, Parker. My cheeks hurt when I talk about this. It makes my jaw ache. He loves us, and he loved us enough to get up on that cross and die a brutal death that he didn't deserve. And the thief next to him only said yes, and he was declared righteous.
Some people think of that as being cheap. I've had some people come to me and say, so if I'm on my deathbed and this guy did whatever, you know, whatever, be any kind of what we call biggies, and he accepts Christ as Savior, he goes to heaven, right? What would you say to that? Because I'm pretty sure you must have come across those kind of questions too.
I come across those questions. Who are we to question him? He's that good. He's that good. And it's fascinating, and it isn't fair. The last will be first, and the first shall be last. And, yes, that means you. That means me. And I am not worthy of it, and he still did it. And I always liken it to, because we worked in foster care, you know, if you raise your, not on purpose, but, like, I'd raise my hand to do something, and a child would duck. Okay, I wasn't going to hurt him. But they were used to being hurt. And we apply that to our God. And it's a misconception. He's just good. And bad things are going to happen. But and when we change that mentality and we stop ducking and stop trying to impress him or worrying that he's out to get us or teach us a harsh lesson, all of a sudden there's this peace. And bad things happen, you know, and this isn't necessarily bad, But it's funny. Somebody said to me one time, "Well, you'll never be a New York Times bestseller because your story's not sad enough." And fine, okay, whatever. But to me, some of the stuff that's happened to me is sad. But when I fell into the message of grace while I was writing Stolen Jesus, about the time that I was about to start my second book, which comes out in October of this year, Sacred Ground Sticky Floors, my oldest son left for the Marines, and we lost a foster placement that had been in our care for 2 years. Our little joy baby was removed the same weekend. Mm-hmm. And I was so just undone. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time in my life that I didn't analyze it from the point of that I was in trouble or he was trying to teach me a lesson. It was just the way things were. John had to go. He believed in what he needed to do. And Joy Baby's mama was better. And it was time for her to go. And I grieved in the arms of my Jesus like I have never grieved before. Because I wasn't afraid, I wasn't in trouble, and I owed him nothing. He was just good. And he has brought me through that in a whole new light. When we start picking apart, well, I wonder why she got better, or I wonder why this couldn't be this way, and why did I have to go through that, and why did I have to love? Nope, just good, just a good God, just a father, daddy, just loves me. And it's a different type of grief. And I've sat in my car on a couple occasions, especially when we got to the one-year anniversary of her removal, and cried out loud and said over and over and over the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, 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 because it was the only hope. He was the only hope, and he was the only help. And I got over it, and, you know, I still grieve, but I'm okay because he is good. He's just good. And I want every person I encounter to encounter Jesus Christ in a new light, which is he's just good. You can't do anything. If you pay him back, it's not a gift anymore. You know, it's a purchase. If you try and earn it, it's a wage, and you can do neither. You cannot catch up to the cross. So just accept him. Just go, okay, Jesus, I accept it. Like the thief on the cross, yes. And you're with him, and he's with you. And it's very simple and organic instead of this try-hard, hurtful mentality that I believe we perpetuate within so many of our religions.
Interestingly enough, when you were mentioning about how you lost your joy baby, there was a woman I used to know in one of my old churches I used to go to. I've been every form of Baptist possible, by the way. Jamie, every form of Baptist is possible. So I've been Baptist for a long time. Now I consider myself a follower of Christ. You know, even though I go to a non-denominational church, I'm a follower of Christ. But anyway, so she was a foster parent for a while. She used to have different kids come in and coming in and out. There was one little boy, we'll call him Charlie. He was a doll, just for the lack of a better term. And she actually had him for quite a while. I think she had him for like, I want to say two years. And then she was going through the process of keeping him for her own, you know, and she wanted to adopt him. And they were going through that process, and all of a sudden the mom wanted him back. And I remember she was devastated, you know, because I had gotten to, because I was a Sunday school teacher at the time, and I had gotten to know him too. And he was the sweetest little boy. He was like two. So she had like a baby's like two. So she had him for a very long time. I may have the numbers because it was a while ago. But I understand your pain of wanting to keep this baby and then being told no. Yeah. And for some people, that's sad. That's very sad. I mean, maybe it's not sad enough for someone else, but when you have a heart to be a mother, and the Lord is, for some of us, and I'm, you know, I go through this myself, you know, wanting to be a mom, and the Lord hasn't answered that prayer yet. Wanting to be a mom, I can't, you know what I'm saying? And to have that, and being told no, and then sometimes you got to go, my grace is sufficient. Like you said, you just cry it out to him. And you says, you know, you kind of literally go, stuff happens, but he's still good. He's still kind. He did not fall off of his throne because something bad happened. You know, he didn't know what was going on. He just asked to cling to him. And that's why knowing who Jesus Christ is vital for your sanity. Because some people, we're always trying to do something. We're always trying to do something. I remember one time I had a woman on my show, Jamie. She was a polygamist, a Mormon polygamist from one of the polygamy groups. And she became a Christian, so she goes out and talks to different polygamy groups around in her area. And she said that for a long time, she thought God hated her. And so when she left the group, she was looking over her shoulder because she was expecting God to come get her. Like, he was going to come get her and stab her and kill her, you know. And it took her 26 years to say that Jesus loves you. And she said, I had never heard that before. I had never heard that God loved me. She said, all I had known was that God hated me. God hated me. God hated me. And that's why Stolen Jesus is vital for those of you who want to know who is the real Jesus. Who is he? I want to know the real. I don't want anything else but the real. And that's why Stolen Jesus is available for you to buy on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, because what you're going to get is Jamie's story to discovering who the real Jesus is. Now, I got to ask you, Stolen Jesus, I kind of got an idea why you call this Stolen Jesus. I know you talked about it a little bit early in the broadcast, but kind of expand on that title, Stolen Jesus.
So I stole Jesus. I stole. In my first book that I wrote, you know, just on a whim, trying to get published, Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors, there was a chapter in it called Stolen Jesus, where I stole a painting of Jesus from a local YMCA where I was teaching spin classes. And I came out of the spin class to clock out, and I said, "Where's Jesus?" Because he was always on the wall. And the receptionist said, well, management took him down because he's too old-fashioned. He's behind the filing cabinet. And I took him because I was offended. And I hung him over the mantle, and that's where he still is. And that's what I call him. We call him Stolen Jesus. So we have some Catholic background, too. So, you know, there's the crucified Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and now they're Stolen Jesus. So my agent said, she said, I have a couple of I have a couple publishers that want to make this a two-book deal, not a one-book deal. And so do you have anything else? And I was like, I really don't, other than Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors. And she said, Jamie, I think Stolen Jesus is a story. And I was like, well, it's a story, but it's not a book. And she was like, no, I think it's a book. And she said, I want you to sit down and think about it, really think about it. And so I did, and all of a sudden I just started writing out all these false Jesuses. Mormon Jesus, fifth grade Jesus, high school Jesus, Justin's Jesus, who's my husband, Americanized Jesus, Scare Me Up Jesus, all of these Jesuses, and the stories just started pouring from me. And she pitched those, and we had a couple offers, and I ended up going with Harvest House. I got to the arc of the book, and the book was going to be due in about a month. We turned in the proposal at 75% because it was flowing like crazy. And I called my sister, and I said, I'm at the arc. And I think this book is brilliant. I can't believe I've written it, but I don't have any ending. I have nothing to offer my readers. Do I tell them to go to a certain church? Do I tell them to read the Bible more? Do I tell them this or this or this or this? And my sister said, Jamie, you need to come to my house right now and listen to this sermon I just listened to. She said, it's the message of grace, and I think I'm finally free. And I went and listened to it, and 72 hours later, I turned my book in complete. And I walked in the freedom of knowing that Jesus is just Jesus. He's the real Jesus. He was none of the things I thought he was. And the freedom was there was nothing left to do. It was finished, and he sat down. And the blood worked, and the completed work of the cross is the freedom that we're supposed to be walking in when we fall into the arms of the real Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus. And, you know, I see this in my book. We're dunked in the water, and we come up from being baptized. You're baptized and saved. Now come with me and sign up for all these studies on how to be better. And we never fully embrace what it means to be saved. And it was life-altering, and it's life-altering for my next book and my next book because I can't stop talking about it. Like I said, it makes my cheeks hurt. We are picking apart the gospel and trying to add from the old sermons and the old teachings, and we're adding a little bit of law to grace, and it's no longer grace. It's law. And it's sad. It's tiresome. And he is, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and we add to that and make it hard instead of just enjoying him. And there's conviction, but there's no condemnation. There's things that we, you know, they're not for us, but it's completely different than beating ourselves over the head for our sin and being sin-focused instead of going, he died for me, so you know what? That's not for me anymore. I'm different because of him. But instead, we're sin-focused.
We're talking to Jamie Amerine. She is the author of Stolen Jesus, which is available for you to buy on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I know you are just as filled with inspiration from Jamie's words. She tells us that God is a God of grace, and what grace really means, especially for those of us who are always trying to do something to make God happy, or do something so we won't get in trouble, or do something so he'll bless us, or do something. And we can't do anything, and Jesus is real. Do you know the real Jesus? You need to find out today by getting a copy of Jamie's book, Stolen Jesus, available on Amazon or wherever books are sold. We thank Harvest House Publishers for picking up this book. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to hear an excerpt from Jamie from Stolen Jesus. Again, we're going to take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're able to join me for this edition. I'm just so excited to be talking to Jamie Amerine. She is the author of Stolen Jesus, which went wildly successful and has helped people to discover who the real Jesus is. I encourage you to love on my sister today and get a copy if you're seeking to discover who Jesus really is, that grace supersedes law and that love supersedes hate. And that is probably one of the themes that you're going to find in Stolen Jesus by Jamie Amerine. And Jamie, I do want our listeners to hear just an excerpt from Stolen Jesus, so go ahead and share that with us today.
Okay, I will. Let's see. So, how I failed and how I succeeded were at the core of my search for the real Jesus. The insane and ridiculous, the less than, the more than, the rituals, the trials, the burdens, the triumphs are at the heart of the sacred and the sticky that have drawn me to this place, a place that looks very much like freedom and what I would soon call new covenant living. The song and dance I continued to perform over the years was all about what I could do to make Jesus love me. Like a lost little girl on yet another foreign playground in another new town, left out and alone, I was desperate for him to pick me. In the midst of all this, there was a frantic part of me that knew I needed to find the real Jesus, but he was muddled by Mormon Jesus, Americanized Jesus, Catholic Jesus, Baptist Jesus, Mean Jesus, New Age Jesus, Hippie Jesus, and a wealth of other characters by whom I had been misled. The quest for the real Jesus is muddied even further by religion, man, your grandparents' world, the new world, religiosity, tolerance, and affluence. I wanted Jesus and not my parents' Jesus, or the Jesus from Sunday school as told by a cucumber and a tomato in a vegetarian musical, not tent revival Jesus, not high school Jesus, not any of the other characters that bounced in and out of my life. I wanted Jesus with me, wandering my halls, searching my heart. Still, he evaded me. I kept waiting for something spectacular to happen. I wanted to be free from the shackles of overwhelming fear. I wanted to overcome strongholds. I wanted to walk in the freedom of church, the church that people spoke of, the freedom of salvation. Stew on this. You cannot be kind of saved. If you are drowning and I come by in my boat and pull you out of the water and take you to shore, you are saved. If I only throw you a life jacket, you still have to tread water. I was treading water. I was in the pew professing salvation, but working to make it happen. And nothing happened from my meager attempts to be God.
And that's an excerpt from Stolen Jesus that Jamie is the author of. And I'm really just resonating with what you said there, because you're just in a desperate search for the real Jesus. And there are so many out there who are. You know, I think some atheists, some agnostics, and some people who don't know what to believe, they just want sincere answers to their questions. I think sometimes the church in a whole can cause so much harm to people searching questions. I know for myself growing up, there were some things I would ask questions about, but even because I asked the questions, I was still just to accept it. Well, that's not going to work for everybody. You know what I mean? That's not going to work for everybody. Sometimes you need to have answers to your questions, even if you say, I don't know, or let me get back with you, you know? And I think sometimes when people don't have those questions answered and we just kind of buff them off to the side, they lead down this path that says, well, I don't believe in anything, or, you know, I believe in this Jesus or that Jesus. I was actually listening to, I'm sorry, not listening, but reading a friend of mine's post on his Facebook, and he was talking about prayer. And this one guy said, well, I see symmetry in all different beliefs and all different religions. And I wanted to tell him, symmetry has nothing to do with it. It's having a relationship, and I have to use your words, with the real Jesus. It's not about anything you can do. There's nothing you can do. Nothing.
No.
Even he goes, well, he said something about Buddhism or something like that. I said, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to get to the real Jesus. Nothing, you know. And that's highly important when we talk about the real Jesus. You want the real one, the one that says, I love you, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, if you accept me, I will be with you, not for a little while, but forever. Forever.
Yeah,
that's the
forever.
Real Jesus that we want to embrace. And the one that doesn't say,
yeah,
you know what, you did something bad, 10 years in the corner. You know,
yeah.
You don't want,
no,
that,
I know,
Jesus. You know,
no,
and I like,
no,
how you used all those different forms of Jesus, Americanized Jesus, because some people find, not that these things aren't good. Let me make something very clear. It's not that it's not good to have a patriotic spirit. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, now that you act like if you're patriotic, you're a racist. I'm like, how does that come into play? But anyway, you know,
yeah,
no, there's nothing wrong with having patriotic thoughts. Nothing wrong with wanting to have peace. There's nothing wrong with wanting people to be respectful of each other. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But you can't take respect. You can't take patriotism and can't take tolerance and turn it into Jesus. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually, I think one of the things that we've done is we've tried to perpetuate a Jesus to hurting people. And I actually, this is in a lot of what I talk about, you know, people that, and one of my more popular blog posts is Stuff I Wish You Quit Saying, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle and all that. But, and I think that we take those impressions from people, broken humans, and we put them on Jesus, on the head of Jesus Christ. And he's none of those things. He's not that. That person that offended you, that wasn't Jesus. That hurt, that wasn't Jesus. That disappointment, that wasn't Jesus. Those were life happenings. But get to know Jesus just for Jesus, and he will not disappoint. He will carry you through, and he will be exactly who he said he was going to be.
Amen. Amen. I know some of us are listening in, and I want to know, what has the reader response been to Stolen Jesus?
It's been pretty good. I'm not well known, so you know, you have that challenge of getting your words out there. And I always tell authors, you know, if you bake a cake, you want someone to eat it. If you say something, you want someone to hear it. And if you write something, you want somebody to read it. And I, for a little while, was hurt that it didn't do tons better. But then the thing that he showed me with my first book is that it actually did well. And the people that I've heard from, the people that have reached out to me and gone, oh my gosh, I had a fifth grade Jesus. Oh my gosh, I had a bad boss Jesus. Oh my gosh, I had that, and I carried that with me, and I had that vision of him, and it's over. To that, I just go, to God be the glory. If it set one person on the same path that I'm on now, which is the freedom of knowing the truth of who Jesus Christ is, then to him be the glory.
Amen, amen. You know, we are getting close to the end of our show, and I just want to thank you so much for being with me on the show. But I do want people to know that you do have another book coming out. You referred to it a couple of times, so go ahead and make it official.
Okay, so October 2nd, my second book comes out. It's called Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors, How Less Than Perfect Kids That Are Kind of Great. And it is all about our identity in Jesus Christ and all the silly things that go on. It's, my stuff is funny. It's not just super serious. It's got some lightheartedness to it. And it's our parenting journey broken down into all the messes and nonsense with, you know, some heartache and what he taught me about being a mother and my identity in him. I think so many women get caught up in their motherhood, and then when that ends or never begins or anything, you know, in between, we wear it all over us. Jesus, that's all over us. And so it was a delight to write that. And then my third book actually comes out next October, and it's called Sacred Temple, Lumpy Thighs, How Less Than Perfect Women Can Find Peace in Their Swimsuits. And I'm just honored to write anything for him. So Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors, that comes out October 2nd, is actually available for pre-order. And and Stolen Jesus is available already on Amazon.
It's funny you mentioned about lumpy thighs, because I've been a person who's always dealt with my self-esteem being a big woman, you know, and dealing with big hips and all that kind of stuff. And just recently, and when I recently, within the last several years, the Lord has taken that yoke off of me, you know, because I've mentioned it several times, Jamie. I used to have that self-hatred of myself. I used to hate myself. I used to look in the mirror and just hate what I saw, you know. And I'll never forget a young girl. She was younger than me. She's like in her 20s or something. And she says, you know, beauty is in the eye of the creator, not eye of the beholder. And when she said that, I said, huh. And she did a salvation message. We were at dinner, and she said, you see this sauce shaker? How much you pay for this sauce shaker? Like, your most you pay for. I said, well, $5. She said, well, Jesus paid $5 billion for you, okay? And you can't pay that back. I was like, well, no. And I knew what she was going to say. You have to, it's not like I don't know what she was going to say. So she said, he must think you're pretty special. And if he thinks you're pretty special, you're beautiful to him. And you stop saying those things. I'm like, okay, you know, and I was just freed. I was just freed. I was crying, and just freed, just having that shackle off, you know, that self-hatred that I used to wear like a cloak, and sometimes I wasn't even aware of it, you know. So you're so used to wearing it, you're not aware of it, and to be freed from that self-hatred, you know, I always share that story because I know what it's like to look in the mirror and hate what you see. And so for the book that helps us to feel good about ourselves, because we're not quote-unquote perfect, according to somebody's standards, you know, because I'd be like, well, who do I look beautiful to? Because it ain't Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, and it's not, you know, what's her name? I can't even think of her name. It's not them, you know. It's me. Am I beautiful? That's who I am. And you go, because I made you, because the Lord made you, you know. So I totally resonate with that. So I can't wait to get my hands on that. We'll love to have you back on the show, too, because that's something that'll break chains. That will break chains, and I'm so glad to do that.
He's in the process. He is in the process of breaking mine, so it is a delight.
Because I know what it's like. I know definitely what it's like. So how can readers stay in contact with you? We know you have a blog, but go ahead and give us the blog again.
Okay, it's sacredgroundstickyfloors.com, and you can also find me on Twitter, Jamie Amerine, Instagram, Jamie Amerine, and then on Facebook, it's actually Jamie Amerine's Sacred Ground Sticky Floors. Or you can email me directly at sacredground.stickyfloors@gmail.com.
You know, this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. So in a few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors out there today.
Oh, just write. You know, the thing is, just one. If it's just one, and if one is even just you, trust him with the gift that he gave you and trust him to fulfill you. The thing is, you know, we can get caught up in numbers and publishers and all of those things, but he did not give you the gift of words or the healing that can come from those words to torment you. He did it because he has a plan, and he is a good father, and he loves you. And I think that when we write from that place of submission – and literally walking in, up to him and go, you know what, I expect nothing but to be in communion with you. He'll do things, guys, that just will utterly astound you. He's a good father.
Of course, the song's in my head now, so I appreciate that.
Yes.
That song's in my head. Jamie, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the show. Thank you for your words of encouragement, your words of healing, your words of inspiration, and thank you for letting the Lord use you to show us what true grace is and the grace is wrapped up in the real person of the real Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
Girl, just please be sure and have me back. I would love to visit with you some more. It was really a delight, and I just pray Jesus be all over you and all over your listeners.
And we were talking today to Jamie Amerine. She is the author of Stolen Jesus, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I want to thank Harvest House Publishers for publishing that book. Her next book coming out called Sacred Ground, Sticky Floors is about parenting, about motherhood. Make sure you go ahead and pre-order your copy today. It is available. It will release October 2nd, so make sure you go ahead and love my sister and get your copy today. One thing that really resonated with me with Jamie is the fact that she said we are looking for the real Jesus. Said in the earlier on in the broadcast, will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? But he already did. He died for us on the cross, and he bled for us. And he said, if any man be in me, he is a new creature. That's the real Jesus who makes us new. He'll take something disgusting like our sin-sick selves, and he'll turn it into gold. And all we have to do is accept that. And so I want you to think about that as you go throughout your day and go throughout your week and go throughout your month and your year, that are you serving the real Jesus? Is he demanding of you, or is he saying, come, let me help you out. Let me put my grace in you. Let me give you my love. There's nothing you can do for it. Just accept it and call me Abba Father. Thanks so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.